The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
You're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Yeah, it totally is time for this door to open. You're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine, dynamic radio dialogues on life today in America. And today is the day before Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday is not just another shopping holiday, though a lot of the stores would like you to believe that. Easter Sunday is actually a time of resurrection. It's a time of spring. It's a time of abundance. It's a time of doggies, kitty cats, and bunny rabbits bringing joy and happiness to the world. And for you to really understand that the Easter Bunny, interestingly enough, if you look it up in Wikipedia, you'll find out that the Easter Bunny is actually another representation of the Virgin Mary. So it's a fascinating conversation that's being covered up by the merchandisers. And we're not here to merchandise you on where you can get your ham for $1.69 a pound, limit four, or whatever that is. We're here to remind you that this is a holiday of resurrection, abundance, gift, brightness, spring, flowers, divinity, renewal, the best that you... That was Mike. He's good for renewal. Boy, I'll tell you, this guy is amazing. It's a time that brings out the best in us. And I'm sharing some irritation that Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and things of that nature have lost their origins in this country. They seem to have been originated by, you know, the May Company and things like that. They weren't. These traditions go back hundreds of years, and they're about you claiming a new life, a new chance, another. It's better than New Year's Day, okay? It's the time when what all of you have been working on comes to fruition. So Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that changes the world, and we think so too. And if you hear anything in the background, if you got your birds out, have you got your birds out, Randy?
Oh, no, it's very quiet.
Well, Randy's got a sassy bird that shows up. My dog will occasionally bark. I don't know. I'm sure we've got Kathy Liederklab, our favorite vet, over here. Did you have a cat that purrs over at your house?
I do have a cat that purrs. I have a little cat named Milo, and he's so cute. He's a Himalayan cross, so, you know, he's kind of tan, and he's got these dark paws and dark tail, and he wears a little mask. So he's got big blue eyes, so he's very, very cute.
So he's a banded cat.
Yeah, he's a banded cat. And he's always purring when he sees me. He's always happy. You know, cats purr for extreme emotion. So sometimes they purr when they're really, really sick. A lot of times cats will start purring when they're dying or they're not feeling really well. But most of the time they purr when they're very happy or very content.
Now, see, bunnies are quiet. Very, very quiet little animals. And you could have a bunny for years and never hear a peep out of it. But you step on a bunny's foot and it actually can scream. So bunnies are just good-natured little buggers, and they know how to multiply, and that's one of the reasons they're representational. We were researching bunnies this morning and found out that the German Lutherans actually bought in the hare, and the hare is another name for rabbit, and that actually, that little rabbit kind of is like Santa Claus, have the kids been good or bad. But if you go back before that, you actually find out that bunnies and the Virgin Mary are related. So it's about freshness, it's about renewal, it's about divinity. And as you look at each of your little pets around you, they don't have an agenda. They're not upset about whether or not you worked hard enough. They don't care. You feed them, you pet them, you kiss them, they kiss back. They give a lot back, and they each have their distinct personalities, okay? But they don't have an agenda. They don't think that the Democrats should win or the Republicans should win or the government is corrupt. But don't think they don't think, because they do, and we're going to be talking about that today. So one of the things that we want to do is just note that it's Christ's resurrection that's happening tomorrow. It's not the ham for $1.69. It's the possibility of immortality. And in the, I was telling Randy and also my dear friend here, our veterinary expert, that this is a time of wonder. This is a time of amazement. This is a time of magic. This is not a time of shopping. And Kathy will tell you about little things about animals. We're actually going to find out her opinion on why dogs circle before they poop. I mean, it's an exciting show coming up before you. Now, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, which means to go out into the world and get that which is yours when you hear the word pray. And always include a prayer for the celebration of our republic, for the United States of America. And today, we respect, in particular, our animal friends, the dogs, the kitties, and the bunnies. And there's a lot of other animals that are part of this, but we'll limit our conversation to that today. So when you look at that ad and you see what's in that ad, remember to put into your head that a lot of people get together tomorrow and they go to church and they sing and they celebrate resurrection. Did you have anything you wanted to say about this, Randy?
Just that I saw this coming like probably a month ago in the stores. I didn't know what it was, except I thought it might be like a candy shopping holiday. So
well, Steve's chocolates are a favorite of ours at Easter Sunday. I was thinking about how we celebrated Easter like 40 years ago. I don't know about you, Kathy, but we always went to church, and then we had a nice party in the backyard. And we had lots of flowers and Easter eggs around, and I got to tell a Jennifer Kirkgaard story. Jennifer Kirkgaard is my now 52-year-old daughter. What a kid she was, I tell you. She comes running into the house on Easter Sunday, and she goes, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, I've seen the Easter Bunny." I said, "No kidding. Tell me, what does the Easter Bunny look like?" "Well, he's 6 feet tall, and he's black, and he's got a wheelbarrow." I said, "Really? And what's in the wheelbarrow?" "Oh, there's eggs and there's gifts for the children. I just love the Easter Bunny so much, Mom." And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that she had seen the Easter Bunny. Not any Easter Bunny I ever saw. But Jennifer also saw reindeer when she was a kid. So it looks like part of what holidays well taken care of are part of our stimulation of our imagination. So Jennifer, I love you for having seen a 6-foot-tall black Easter Bunny with a, with a wheelbarrow. You go, kiddo, and may you see many other wonderful things. So, Kathy, what's your best Easter story?
My best Easter story, well, I think it's a childhood memory where I woke up one Easter and my mother had bought a stuffed yellow rabbit for me with big ears. And then I had a big giant egg, which, you know, split in two. You know how they were, you put two halves together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was all filled with chocolates and small toys and little goodies. So I just remember that. I must have been maybe about 8 years old, and I woke up, and there they were on my bed beside me, and I was just so happy that I had gotten these toys. And it just was just, you know, wonderful for me. But then again, it was a commercialism that made me
well,
so happy.
Well, it was a commercialism, but it wasn't, because remember what we were saying about the Easter Bunny? Your mother actually was bringing you a representation of abundance. That's what the eggs stand for. That's where
yes.
where they come
yes.
from. It's all about mm-hmm. hatching and having a brilliant future. So it wasn't what she did for you wasn't just about commercialism. And look, you remember this Easter experience. We won't ask how many years later.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember this, and if you remember it again and you want to talk about it again, remember that your mother gave you the gift of a brilliant future for spring.
Yes, it was. It was lovely. And then, you know, we always had a big Easter celebration with lamb and, you know, the lamb and all the food, and we'd have people come over and we would celebrate. So it was really quite lovely. But we don't do that anymore somehow. It's kind of fallen by the wayside.
Because we aren't taught value anymore.
Yeah.
We are taught that this is the day that you buy your spiraled ham.
Right.
We've lost the symbolism of what these things were meant to represent, just like we've lost the symbolism for Thanksgiving. And I think we've lost with the shopping days that now take the place of Thanksgiving and Christmas. So this is a request for you to bring back the symbolic meanings of these things. Do some research next year at Christmas. Do some research on the origins of Christmas. Next year at Thanksgiving, do some research on the origins of Thanksgiving. Randy, what's your favorite Easter story?
You know, I think for me it was all about, you know, as a kid just being around family, got to be around the grandparents. You know, they were still alive, and it was more about that, you know, lots of food and being around the family. You know,
that's great.
In particular, the grandfather that I was around at the time, he's no longer around. He's not with us. And, you know, so I miss him. I miss that. He was a big part of my life.
So how could we recreate all of this stuff? Let's find out if Mike's got any comments on what your favorite Easter was, Mike. Mike. He has many jobs. He's obviously tending an Easter bunny right now.
He's eating his chocolate Easter eggs.
I totally remember the eggs with the seeds inside of them.
Oh, those are so cute. They were made out of sugar.
Yes, they were. But you know what? I never ate them.
I didn't either.
They were so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I kept them around until, you know, how chocolate turns white after years.
Oh yeah,
and then it finally turns to powder. I had a number of powdered eggs. Originally when Kathy and I spoke, we wanted to talk about dogs and cats, and then I realized that our show was sitting right on top of the Easter show, and I really wanted to talk about that, which we have. And I also wanted to ask each and every one of you to return. To all of the issues that were actually intended. For instance, the United States for America is actually a country formed on Christian values. Easter is actually a holiday formed on, as Randy was speaking of, on family. It's formed on the remembrance of the Virgin Mary. It's formed on abundance and rabbits. Give them a little update on what rabbits are capable of, Kathy, because I used to build bunny condos and stuff like that, and I used to crossbreed rabbits, but maybe our listeners don't know how amazing these little creatures are.
Well, they are amazing. You know, you can train a rabbit. You can teach him to use a litter box in your home. And so you can have them around the house, and they can be quite clean. They come when you call them. You know, they become very attached to you. So really, they're really nice little pets to take care of, and they're inexpensive because they eat grass. You know, you don't
and
have to
also
buy.
If you have wood furniture, you have to watch out.
You do, and also for cords, electrical cords, they don't chew on them. But you know, I have quite a few clients that have bunnies, and they're very attached to them, and the bunnies are very, there's a relatedness, you know, and they're very emotional, and they become very attached to you, so they make quite nice pets. But you know, rabbits can also, they can get angry. They'll bite you if they're angry, or they'll thump their feet sometimes. They can become territorial.
I never had that experience.
They do have a dark side.
I've never seen the dark side of a bunny. Oh, my God, you're shattering my image.
That's out of a funny movie, for sure.
The shadow. The bunny shadow.
The dark side of a bunny. That's funny.
But, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but they have large ears because they use their ears to thermoregulate, because bunnies can overheat pretty easily, and so their ears give off a lot of heat, and that way they can cool down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, especially here in California when it's hot, we recommend that you put water in a milk carton and freeze it, and you could put that in the bunny cages on warm days, and it kind of helps as a little air conditioner to keep them cool.
Wow. They're also very easy to maintain. I mean, I remember what we would take is a, you know, like a 2-pound coffee can, put some holes in it, put little L-shaped things on it, put it inside of a cake pan, and we would create bunny feeders. So we pour the bunny food in the top, and then you take the top of the coffee can and you cut the circle and then turn it into a cone, and then that would cause the food to distribute around the container. So you could actually feed your bunny every other day, and it would be fine if you had to go away for the night or something like that. So they're very low maintenance. And as we were talking before the show, I didn't know about the dark side of the bunnies. I'm still reeling from that conversation. Because I never met the dark side of a bunny.
I have.
Other than that, I picked up a bunny off the road, and unfortunately it had gonorrhea, and it infected all my other bunnies, and I had to give them shots. But that was not the bunny's fault. But so far, I've never run into the dark side of a bunny. All I ran into, I used to carry them around in my purse when they were little.
Oh, how cute. Yeah.
Because I had a little lined purse, and my bunny would go with me.
Oh, that's cute.
And they didn't poop too much or anything like that when they were little, so I didn't have much to worry about. So I'd be sitting somewhere in a bus stop or something like that, and there'd be this little bunny head sticking out, because I love these guys. And they just brought so much preciousness into my life that missing talking about how adorable they were, I had to share the bunnies and the doggies and the kitties, and we'll be talking more about dogs and kitties on this show. But here's the thing, deal. The thing, you bring love into your life. Have you ever had a pet bunny, Randy?
Yes and no. They were my sister's, so I really didn't have to take care of them, but they were super cute. They had really long ears. They were precious. And they were tiny. I think they were
tiny?
They were called dwarf bunnies or something.
Oh, yeah. They're little characters. You might want to tell them, Kathy, about the gestation period and stuff like that, because it's rather spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have a 30-day gestation period. So, you know, they can reproduce every 30 days. So, you know, it's quite phenomenal, because, you know, you see these cartoons where they have two rabbits and all of a sudden you have 10,000 rabbits. And it's very, very true because of the reproduction. But
the rabbits that she had, when they bred, they would throw the babies out. Why would they do that?
They would throw them out when it wasn't healthy.
Hmm.
Okay,
like every litter.
If the mother didn't think one of the rabbits was going to survive, she would actually, that was one of the sad parts of it. I remember holding those little bunnies on my chest while they died. The mother will throw the sick one out of the box. So there's one of the things that when you're working with rabbits, one of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure that you touch the mother bunny first before you touch the children, because then she recognizes her own scent. And sometimes if you put an outside scent in there, she'll consider it alien and she'll toss the bunny out. So they toss them out for illness and also for unrecognized smells. So that's the hard part.
Probably no chance of saving them that early in, huh?
Well, as I said, I used to hold them after she kicked them. Usually out of a litter of 7 or 8 bunnies, one of them would get kicked out. And I just couldn't stand, you know, doing anything to that bunny, putting it out of his misery or whatever. So I would just hold him and sing to him, and then I remember them dying on my chest. So that happens in life, and that's one of the things that I think is really important, is that caring for animals, be it a rabbit that seems to be the symbol of today's show, or kittens or dogs or anything like that, that they teach you about life and death as well as everything else, and they teach you about those things without vindictiveness.
Right.
But this
They have a sense of relatedness. You know, they relate to you. And I think that's what's so important about animals, you know, that it's all about being together and relating rather than anything else. And I think that's why we love them so much.
Yeah. They don't ask you how much you have in your checking account.
Right.
Or evaluate whether your hair got combed this morning or not.
Or how you look, if you're overweight or you're too thin or if your makeup's on crooked or whatever.
Right, exactly. That's irrelevant to animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, actually, I want to start our conversation a little bit early of thanking people that we love and respect. And rather than call these commercials, I'm going to call them shout-outs, Randy.
Okay.
Because all the people that we talk about are not paying us to do this. We're doing this because in all of the years, this is our 29th year on the radio, in all of our years, these are the things that stand out. And I don't have Ted Whidden on here, but you might do a shout-out for him, too, because he seems to be doing extraordinary work.
Yeah, I've actually been, I'm going to have his book read this week. He's been on me for about 2 weeks about it.
Okay, very good. And Edward F.
Website,
Group III. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
Thebraincan.com, C-A-N, thebraincan.com for Teddy Whidden. Everybody needs that book. That's a must on the list, Val.
Yeah, totally. And Edward F. Group, I still haven't got my copy yet. Edward F. Group III, he's a must, too. And his work is the, let's see, what have I got it right here? The Secrets to the Health Seminar is the best Global Healing Center is the best DVD, I was looking at it again yesterday, that I've ever seen on health. The man is packed with information. Patricia and Paul Bragg's Apple Cider Vinegar is the drink of waking up in America. And they've been at putting this drink out for 114 years now, I think. How about that, 114 years.
Long time.
Something as simple. Teddy Whidden has a lot of solutions with baking soda, or what makes up baking soda, which is very inexpensive and has amazing results. And the Bragg Apple Cider Vinegar falls in the same category. They're inexpensive things that can make a tremendous difference in your health. And if you read the books that Patricia Bragg has written on her website at bragg.com, you will find out what people have been saying for 114 years about what apple cider vinegar does. And she has another line of products, too. Kayani, which is means strong medicine, are a series of products that Ron Zeller, who wrote Aging and Ageless, use. And he recently passed. His book, Aging or Ageless, is seminal in the field for longevity. And all the products and things that we're mentioning are part of you having extraordinary experience in relationship to life. Sir Jason Winter Tea is another one. It builds the immune system. Longevity has a list of products that are astounding, all the way from telomere support to rebuilding your cartilage. It's like people think when they get older, they just have to start stooping over and falling apart. Longevity says no. You want to take a look at all these things. They're on our webpage at wakingupinamerica.com. Protandim. Ever since I started taking that again on a regular basis, Randy, my arthritis in my knees has been reduced, I'm going to say, by 50%.
Wow, that's a significant amount.
It's a very significant amount, and it equivocates me being able to walk up and down stairs without screaming because it hurts so bad. TheConingCompany.com is cleaning out your eustachian tubes. They run from below your earlobe to your collarbone. Makes an outstanding difference. You'll feel more clear. You may notice sinus problems disappearing and infections and all kinds of stuff when those tubes are clean. Randy, when you talk to people at 42action.org, what's the possibility of their future?
Endless. We're working on blind trusts and really protecting everything that you own and for all the future generations. So it's really pretty cool. 42action.org, where knowledge is definitely the primary defense. That's the tagline, and that's what we mean.
Totally, and bringing that up, did I send you the forward on what they've done with Social Security?
I'm not sure yet. I didn't get into the email.
Okay, well, you would be sure. As of May the 1st, they're pulling a lot of things out of Social Security benefits that you may have not even known were there. So and you're going to have to act, because if you act on these things, you can actually you can be grandfathered in or grandmothered in. And it's real significant about what's being taken away from you is things that you never even knew that you had.
Right.
That's what the secret of all of this stuff is that Randy's working with and I've been working with, and Jenna Lauren, who gave me some information on Social Security. I'll forward that to you. If anybody wants me to forward it to them, write me at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and I will forward that to you. You've got until May the 1st to get in there. Otherwise, they've closed all the doors, and they're taking all the money. Aqua Chi and telomeres. Aqua Chi machines actually detox your body at an astounding and amazing rate. When you see what they take out of your body, take a look at the videos that are there. It's absolutely amazing. Telomeres actually grow the cap on your DNA, so instead of dying every year, you're growing a little bit younger. Really, you're growing younger at 0.04% a year when you take telomere support. El Pinto Salsa, I will always give Jim and John credit, because these guys are a destination restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They know how to treat you well, and they not just treat you well as far as service is concerned. Their food is top quality. They went and bought Kangen water machines so that you can have special water. These guys are giving you the best of everything. Marketing with the Stars, check it out. It's on the website. It's really inexpensive marketing. You can get to 100,000 people for a very reasonable rate. Talk to Ra and tell them that we sent you. Galactic Federation, I missed the call this week. I had a little brain fog, and I am so sorry. I'm going to actually write them and see if I can get one of their DVDs. But the Galactic Federation information is on the website, too. DrValerie.com, I actually do epigenetic clearing, which means I can actually, some of the things that you don't know why you're doing them, or they're actually from grandmothers and grandfathers, they're from your past, our incompletions are passed along in our DNA, and I know how to access them and neutralize them. So I'll give you a complimentary demonstration if you call me at 310-455-8623. And Palisades Vets, do you want to give out some of your information?
Sure. Yeah, we're a full-service hospital. We just do small animals, dogs and cats. And we provide internal medicine, which is basically just drawing blood and telling you about how the body works, how everything is internally. We also do surgery. We do orthopedic surgery. We do nutritional counseling. We do vaccines and flea control. And we do behavioral counseling. So we pretty much, kind of cover almost everything that you could possibly need. And our clinic is really based on compassion and also, kind of the love dog and love cat concept. And, everything is with relatedness and gentleness and communication with our pets.
Yeah. And that's all part of Happily 200. So what you want to do... Happily 200 is the possibility of living to be 200 years old, and it's not that we expect everybody that's listening to this conversation to live to be 200 years old. What we know is that if you accept it as a possibility, you will take better care of your life. And one of my friends, now that he's into Happily 200, he goes, oh, my God, that means I have to get my teeth fixed. Yes, it does. Yes, it totally does.
What, they can't last?
Oh, listen, let me tell you, I've seen some mouths of teeth that remind me of a local garbage dump. People do not understand. Even my mother made me crazy, She wouldn't get her teeth fixed. She was dying, she said, and she was saving the money for her kids. I would have just, Mom, please, just get your teeth fixed. We probably would have had her another 10 years. People do not know the value of getting their teeth repaired and their different things that we put up with because we've only got a few years left or we don't want to spend the money or whatever. As soon as you accept the possibility of living to be 200, which you can find at wakingupinamerica.com/200/, you will see that there is a different paradigm. You right now are designed inside of your own mind to die by 100, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we give you another 100 years, you all of a sudden have time to do things. You change the perspective. At 75, instead of being three-quarters of the way through my life, I'm halfway through my life. I'm not even halfway through my life, according to my mind. So I'm taking on projects that I would not normally not take on. I'm putting my body into good repair. And by the way, I'll give a shout-out to the Chinese healer that I spoke with and had work done with on Wednesday evening, bless her heart.
Nice.
I got up on the table in front of this little class that she was giving, and she goes, "Oh my God, you're really in great shape. What are you doing? You're really powerful." Well, I, of course, was feeling bad because I had arthritis in my knees and was having trouble standing up straight and the stuff that starts to happen when you start to get older, when your cartilage starts changing and stuff. And she goes, "Not to worry." She goes, "Everything you're going through is reversible."
Huh.
Everything I was going through was reversible. She was brilliant.
You.
And what happened was we actually started teaching each other in the class, because I'm an expert in epigenetics, which is going back historically as well as in this present lifetime. And that's what she was talking about, except she was, like, incredibly intuitive, and I would say her name, except I would make a horrible mess of it. It's very complicated. Anyway, the connection was powerful and strong, and when she said that I was one of the strongest fields, that's how she referred to me, that she had ever met, I felt intuitively about her. And then we made a joke about being angels, she and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we both said we're both angels, and then we said, "Well, how many angels are in the room?" And out of about 15 people, 6 people raised their hands.
Huh.
So then I said, "Okay, we've got 6 that raised their hands. How many chickens out there didn't raise their hands?" And then 2 more hands popped up.
So, oh, wow.
There's an angelic conversation that's going on, and what that means is that we, as quotes, angels, and you can become an angel too if you're willing to accept the possibility of miracles, if you're willing to accept that outside of your customary way of viewing things, different things kinds of happen. If the cat that you're sitting next to may be an angel in a sense, or the little dog that's at your feet or with his back or her back pressed up against you may be another one of your angels. You just got to look differently. And with that, I hand it over to you, Kathy, to have a conversation with us on dogs and kitties.
On dogs and kitties. Well, you know, a lot of people think dogs and cats are little angels, you know, and that their raison d'être, you know, to be here with us is to give us, you know, love and to be supportive of us. So I think that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you wonder, you know, why they're here. Somebody sent me a couple days ago something called Why God Created a Dog. And it's a wonderful little video. It's on YouTube. And it's just so sweet. And it's got these great pictures. And one of them that really broke my heart was a homeless man sitting on the curb. And in his lap, he had a German Shepherd that he was holding, and you could just tell that dog was keeping him going, was keeping him alive, was, you know, just there for him, because you could just tell how lonely the man was. And so they're there for us when we're alone and we can't get along with other people. And that's why I think they're so important. And plus, you know what? They're funny. There's a lot of humor with animals. I mean, you look at them with their tails, they're so ridiculous, and their ears, that you just can't help but laugh, you know? And their little
foot. They have unconditional love. Why?
Well, you know, I don't think it's unconditional. I think that if you're mean to them, they go away. So you really have to be nice to them and kind to them and pet them and feed them, and they will love you. But again, the love is just is based on relatedness. It's not based on how you look or how much money you have or who you are. It's just, if you're a person and you're kind, then they love you. And so they bring out our kindness.
I was going to say, do you think dogs and cats mind being dressed up like little people?
I don't think they like it.
That's good.
But you know, some dogs do like it. Some dogs do like to get dressed up and parade around. But I think the average dog doesn't really like wearing clothes.
So
yeah,
don't dress your dog up like a bunny rabbit tomorrow, okay? Unless it asks. Unless it
or dress
something.
A dog like a cat and a cat like a dog.
Well, good. What are you thinking? Now, we were talking about what rabbits stand for, okay, and Easter eggs and all that kinds of stuff. So how do you, dogs and cats are obviously not the same.
No, they're different. They're totally different, yeah.
So if you were to do the symbolism of a dog, it would be about love, okay, about providing love and being there and loving you unconditionally if you treat it well, right?
Yeah, and also they just go out and live. They're always happy. They want to go on a walk, and you know the life is beautiful for them, and they're just full of joy.
Well, you know,
and energy.
Interesting. My little dog, I have one of those. He needs to run around sometimes, so I have one of those shock collars for him so that he knows what his boundaries are.
Uh huh.
He actually would rather have me take him for a walk on a leash than to run around the yard with a collar.
Right.
Now, mind you, he chases things and he has a really good time, but if I give Mio a choice, he'll take the leash.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You get to go with him. And I don't mm-hmm. think you, if you have any lack of value of how you see yourself in your life and you love your dog will give you value back. Your dog will love you. Randy, I don't know, but I know you have a bird. I don't know who, and four sons. I don't know who else is living in your house.
Yeah, we have a beautiful white shepherd named Isabel, who's probably the most loving ever, and to us, not to the lawn guys. And then two very, 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 very sweet bull mastiffs, one that's very timid, and the other one is way more outgoing. So they're sisters, too. So they're interesting because they're complete opposites.
Really?
And they're just big and huge, and they're just the sweetest dogs. Unless you're the landscaper or the FedEx guy or the pizza guy or so
you feel
I've
protected
wondered,
by them?
Oh yeah. I mean that was the main reason to have them, but of course you fall in love and they become part of the family, so they're very sweet. The shepherd gets in the pool with us sometimes. So she loves when you make her jump in on her own. I always wondered, though, you know, why a dog doesn't discern between even a child and an adult if they're, you know, looking at them as an intruder. Why do they bark at a kid? Some do, some don't. Mine do. Mine bark at kids.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I think that maybe anything that is threatening the pack, their pack, or their circle, their intimate circle of the family, they perceive as maybe, you know, a threat. But when you say kids, you're saying like 10, 11-year-olds? I mean, not a baby,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, not a baby. If there's ever a baby in the pool area, I have a guest house, so if there's ever a baby there, the parent's always holding it. So it's never the kid, it's the parent, it's the adult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But usually I think with, you know, it's kind of funny in nature when you have an organism that has really soft, round lines, you know, like a baby bird or a bunny rabbit, I think is quintessential for that, or a puppy or kitten, then usually they're very non-threatening. I think something more angular is more, a little bit more threatening.
Huh.
So they've proven that with, you know, biological studies. So the soft curves and lines usually is very non-aggressive, and I can't expect a dog really would go after a child with that, but...
Well, they got loose on the neighborhood a couple of times, and they didn't harm a fly. Nothing.
You know, I'm looking at them, actually. I wanted to find out what you had over at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up Bull Mastiff. It says temperament, reliable, devoted, reserved, protective, alert, docile, loyal, calm, powerful, courageous, and loving. Sounds like you made some good choices. However, these choices you made look like they're the size of a horse. Now, you must have to, like, buy food by the boxcar for these
guys.
Yeah,
because I always try to get healthy, too. So,
well, of
yeah.
course. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you want a horse over at your house that fits all of these qualities but goes under the name of dog, Bull Mastiff is definitely the dog to get for yourself. So I'm thinking, you know, in a past life, you probably needed protection, Randy, because you created 4 sons and 2 Bull Mastiffs. So
That's
you've
great.
Definitely protected yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you surrounded, and, you know, we had that earlier conversation about life, and you were saying that you wanted to be able to trust people.
Mm-hmm.
And this dog is the absolute manifestation of having protection and trust and love. So,
gosh, if they could just discern, like, as soon as I bring a date home.
We can have the dog sniff down the date and see whether the date's reliable or not. And say, maybe the dogs are barking at the dates that don't have these qualities, because this sounds like a great quality for a partner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's up with the full moon?
Go ahead.
And dogs and cats? Any difference in their behavior?
Well, before we go to cats, I do have to ask, because I promised at the beginning of the show, we were talking the other on Friday about why do dogs circle?
Oh, why do dogs circle?
Because this is like all the time I take the dog out, I go, this is so interesting. And then we were trying to decide whether if the dogs were in Australia, they would circle the opposite direction.
Well, you know what?
Important question.
Interesting. Well, they also circle before they lay down. So they circle before they poop. And they circle before they lay down.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so one of the major reasons is they stomp down all the vegetation and the grass to, you know, make it, make like a little bedding for them, you know, flatten the area so they can lay down. And they flatten the area because that way if there's something hiding there, like an insect or a snake, you know, they won't lay on top of the snake or the insect or poop in that area where they can get bit. It's also protective. It's also for comfort. And some people think that they do that also according to the magnetic pole, which I don't know if that's been proven. And so they kind of line themselves with the magnetic field as they circle and they go down.
It's so then story we started, anyway.
That's the story. So we started thinking if maybe they circle the opposite way. You know, if you go south of the equator and north of the equator. So I think we're going to probably have to get a blog going and have people report which way the dog circles so we can get some data going and see if we can kind of figure this out. But
see Kathy and I have serious conversations. And now we move to that cat who sits purring on the back of the couch watching. What do you have to say about kitty cats?
Well, you know, kitty cats, I mean, they're just, you know, they're very different from dogs. They're, you know, they like to be touched when they want to be touched. They come to you. You know, you can't really, you know, have any violence with a cat. You always have to be nice to them. They can be vengeful. We talked about the vengeful kitty.
A vengeful cat.
Yeah, like you go on vacation and you leave the cat and then you come home and he poops on your bed.
Oh, yeah. Yes, or in the dark spot of your corner or of your closet.
Right. You don't give him enough attention, so he goes and he starts, you know, scratching, you know, your furniture.
Right.
Yeah.
So my cat, Honey, when I would have guests over, I would put her in the bathroom and close the door and put the cat box in there. And when I would reopen the door, she would look at me, and then she'd just, right in front of me, flip the cat box upside down. And this was not something that happened once or twice. This was something that happened, and there was a cool look in her eyes as she flipped over the cat box.
A cool look.
And then I used to take her with me when I went places. I had a collar for her and a leash, and I would take her. There weren't things where you couldn't take animals into grocery stores and stuff during those years. And at a certain point, she would want to be carried. She had no intention of walking any further. She had done that. And what would happen is she would start to limp, and she would always limp on her right paw. And I knew about this, and it was always a request to be picked up. But sometimes if I was carrying grocery bags or something, I couldn't do that. And once she not only limped on her right paw, but when I didn't respond, she laid over on her side and started choking. She wasn't choking. It was the limping on the paw hadn't worked, and now she was choking. And now I am surrounded by people who are claiming that my cat is dying and that I'm choking her to death, and she's looking at me and she's purring. So then she gets up, because I tell her I can't do it, and the people are all looking at me thinking I'm being cruel to the cat, and she forgets to limp on her right paw, and she limps on her left paw. So she called
really
her own game, and she... Pardon?
You think they really think about that?
I know that. I have zero doubt. Kathy, back me up.
Yes, no, I'll back you up. It's called... We have a name for it. It's called sympathy lameness. And so what they do, it's like the Sarah Bernhardt. They act injured to get your attention and to get you to give them love and spend time with them. And, you know, I had a case once where a dog was limping and we couldn't figure out why he was limping. And she brought him in like three times and we took x-rays and we palpated everything and we really couldn't figure it out. And so then she called me a couple weeks later and said that when she's not home, the neighbors say the dog stops limping. So the minute she leaves, the dog doesn't limp.
That's funny.
So what we were talking about was that animals are way more intelligent than we give them credit for, and I wondered if you could comment some on that as well, Kathy.
Well, I think that people... see, here's the thing. We have a trainer that we work with, and she's a wonderful trainer. Her name is Tamar Geller, and she... she has an approach of the love dog training method. And she's always saying that the dog doesn't understand what English is, the words are. So we're not communicating properly with the dog. So we have to communicate with the dog on their level. And when we do that, the dog understands what we want, and then they do what we want, and vice versa. So it's really all about communication with the dog.
Okay, but if it's not English, what is it?
Sign language, or showing them what you want. You know, just like if you were to communicate with a person who didn't speak English, you'd show them what you want, or you'd gesticulate, you know, trying to get across what you're trying to tell them. So she has a certain method where she gives treats, and she tries to get them to do what they want, and when she does it, she connects it to a word. And so, because dogs can learn, you know, 100 to 150 words, and then once they learn that word, when you say the word, then they know what you want.
Well, what was interesting was when I had Sarah being trained, a word combination that was very powerful for her was "leave it." So
yes,
let's say the dog's walking off with your shoe, right? And the dog's been trained. You can say "leave it." Now, Sarah was part Australian short-haired dog. And they say that they have vocabulary of over 200 words.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They do. I know, it's a lot, isn't it? And when you think about it, we use like maybe 5 words with our dogs, you know, come, stay, sit, you know, walk, treat, and that's all. So we almost don't give them what they need. We don't give them enough mental stimulation.
Huh.
So what should we be saying to them?
Well, you could teach them, you know, words of objects, you know, like have a name for the different toys.
Mm-hmm.
And, then, you know, I think leave it, for instance, is a really good thing to teach a dog, because they often do things that they're not supposed to do. Like, for instance, they bark incessantly. So they're barking, 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 and you tell them leave it, you know, like to stop barking, then they'll stop. Or... for instance, if you're throwing the ball for them, and this was with my standard poodle, I would throw the ball, and she would want me to throw the ball over and over and over again. So then I would just say, enough. And then she knew that it was over, playtime was over, and we'd have to go home. So I think it's important, you know, to let them know where you are. Because really, they just want to please you.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to feel used by them. And if you're feeling used by them, you may not be giving them the tools to communicate to you in such a way that you can let each other know what's good for each other.
Right. It's kind of like with your married partner. You got to tell them what you want and what you need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But communicating with people. So
we were talking on Friday about about intelligence, and this is part of that too. It seems to me like cats are bigger schemers than dogs. Is that?
I think they are. You know, cats are, I don't know, cats are funny because I think they are bigger schemers. You know, I think they're kind of plot sometimes to get what they want. So,
well, there's that look that they get.
Mm-hmm.
When they're looking at you and their eyes are half open and they're purring, I swear to God, I don't think I'm just being psychotic. I go, what is that cat up to? Okay, what does that cat want?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what are the biggest complaints that or wonders that you get when somebody brings in their animal, besides this fake thing? Dogs and cats do that fake limping thing, right?
Right, right. Well, I don't know about cats.
Who told them about this?
I think the owners, you know, to get attention, they, you know, we teach them a lot of things. So maybe if they're hurt, they get a lot of attention. And so they put two and two together, and they start acting hurt to get attention because other times they don't get attention.
Huh. Well, so if a cat or dog sits next to me, they get attention.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, you know, we're getting there. We're learning more about behavior. And I think we just need to educate the population, raise the consciousness of people in communicating with animals, and not just dogs and cats, but all animals, wild animals too, you know, gorillas and manatees and elephants. I mean, people don't realize that when they kill these animals, they're really killing a very intelligent being.
Oh, those are tough videos to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the foreign ones. Oh, in these foreign countries. Dogs coming into a room and they watch the one in front of them get beat. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. I don't even want to get going on what the Chinese do instead of giving rabies shots.
Yeah, it's tough to be an animal in one of those countries, boy.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at a picture of Carol right now, who is a precious tabby cat who I kept indoors because I live in Coyote Land, and about every 2 or 3 years she'd go out for a romp. And she went out for a romp last year in March. And I never saw her again. And I'm looking at her picture right now. This is for you, Carol. I love you dearly. So I called up a kitty cat animal psychic who had found my friend David's cat for him. And the story she told me was that my cat was sitting on a park bench with green trim on it, which is what I have in the yard, and that a woman in a jogging suit came by and took my cat, because she did, and that I should put out signs because this woman jogged in the neighborhood, and I did. I put out signs. I put out a picture of the cat, and then I called the woman back, and I said, I still haven't found my cat, and she said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, they actually had a past life together, and this woman needs your cat right now, and your cat's very unhappy, would rather be with you, but she also knows she has an obligation to this to take care of this other woman. So it's all whatever it is, you know.
I can't believe
anyway,
the show's over.
I
flew by.
I know we've only got 40 seconds left, and I've got a whole bunch of people to read names for, but I'm just going to put my hand on top of all of these names and say God bless all of you, including Carol Channing and Larry Hagman and Esther Williams and all the rest of you that have been here on Waking Up in America. May the goodness that puts you onto the radio and the conversations that you have be resurrected for the Easter holidays and for the rest of the year, because each and every one of you shared generous time with us, and we appreciate you. We appreciate Cumulus Radio. We appreciate Voice America and John in New York. We appreciate you. And may you all be blessed in abundance. May spring be good to you. May you remember the origins of who you are. We're a Christian nation, and tomorrow is the day of resurrection. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all, and may you have a great future. Happy Easter.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.